Welcome back to another episode of the Healthy Relationship Podcast, and today we're speaking about
relationship advice that we would give to our younger selves.
Okay, and we've got ChatGPT asking us a question, right? What is it?
The question is, how has your understanding of love changed over time?
For fuck's sake. Do I have to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I think in the process of like going through your early 20s, you're looking for some of the most shiny things, and you're looking for how you present yourself in the world. Like if you focus on materialistic stuff, you look for shiny stuff. If you like more soulful stuff, spiritual stuff, then you kind of find what you like. I think you fuck around and find out is probably the best answer to this answer. I think you get what you don't want, and in the process of finding out what you don't like, then you get what you do like. So I guess it changed for me because I thought that care and attention or things that weren't important, and I just thought that either looks or what they did for me was the be all and end all. So I guess my perception of love has changed over the time in terms of like first of all the feeling, because I think now you get a feeling that isn't just lust, attraction, you know, a little bit of hanky panky on a weekend, or like, you know, beauty, for example. You've basically filtered down what you think is love, basic emotions that you get, and then now you're filing it down to the true core reason, because of what you found is, you know, all in the nose, all of the wrong things now lead to the right things. What do you think is, what's it changed for you?
For me, I think my perception of love was always a bit different because of like my upbringing, and especially growing up in like a Arabic household where there were no boundaries between, you know, the parents and the children. So for me, I was kind of taught that love was being completely like absorbed and giving your whole life to someone else. I thought that love was somebody that had to always be there for you whenever you wanted something. Love was someone who always had to sacrifice what they wanted to make you happy, because that was the way that I was taught that I would receive love, and so that's how I expected people to give me love. But I never found that, obviously, because it's unrealistic to actually expect anyone to do that for you. Yeah, I think I always ended up feeling really resentful of people that I was in relationships with, whether that was like my friends or romantic partners. It just made me feel like I was always overgiving and I was never receiving the same. I don't think that I really understood what love was initially. And then I think when I started going on a bit more of a journey of myself and doing therapy and healing and whatever, and started improving my relationship with myself and kind of untangling myself from the dynamics that my family taught me, I started realizing that love is actually about like two independent people that come together and they share like respect, care, attention. I think instead of feeling like it's all self-sacrificing and like this I can't live without you kind of feeling, it's more grounded and stable. I think it's rooted in like trust and respect, as opposed to like just being completely absorbed in each other.
Yeah, so interesting, because I would say that for me, when I look back at my parents and how even my mum showed me love, I'm almost using that as the benchmark, right? And so like, so did you. But for me, that probably wasn't a negative experience to untangle. It's actually something I absolutely love about the way she taught me what that is. There's obviously other things in everyone's parents that you want to take away and put it in the bin and only take the good stuff. But it's interesting how I spent time having to untangle it, and I'm like, oh, that I like that. Like that's a really good measure of love. And then, you know, what they say,
what guy, was that your mum
I think it's just like
you?
Like the cheerleading stuff, it's like the stuff that you give me is like the stuff that I got going up growing up from you. Like I get a belief of like I could walk on water if I wanted to, because I know that you'd be like, yeah, fuck, go for it, dude, like, you know. It's the belief, it's like the cheerleading, it's the effort, the time, and the safety box that I feel when we're doing our things and kind of living together. That's what I would say is I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And it's cool because that's what the things I didn't have previously. I went looking for alternative things that are more exciting and shiny or more provocative or more abstract. But then I guess, you know, they do say, you know, you look for someone like your mother,
parents,
Freudian behavior. Crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy. And I think it's really interesting because for men and women, it tends to be different because of what we're told that we should value. And I don't think, it's like what you said, you don't really realize that you're looking for the wrong thing until you keep going into the wrong thing and eventually find the right thing. For me, I think the wrong thing that I was looking for was validation. I mean, I think everybody wants to be validated by their partner, but I think that I was just looking for whoever would validate me. And so I'd always end up in the wrong kind of relationships, and especially like these ones that kept repeating the beliefs that I had about myself, which was like, I'm not good enough, and I have to like hustle for love. It would always be in like these hot and cold dynamics with people who would show me loads of attention and then suddenly pull away. And I thought that that was also love, because that was also what was happening at home. It was very inconsistent. One minute I would be smothered, the next minute I would be screamed at. It all felt very normal. I think, again, like, I would say that things changed when, I think with age, you start to learn through experience. Self-awareness, therapy, starting to understand other people has really helped me unlearn a lot of things that I thought about love. I think the moment that I started feeling that I had more of my individuality for myself, then I started not thinking about like who's validating me, but paying more attention to the people that I'm actually allowing into my space. And instead of thinking like, oh, does this person like me? And if they do, like, jumping into that, it's like, do I actually like this person? What am I seeing in this person that could be, you know, a potential? What's a red flag? And just having a bit more of those boundaries. And I think that even though I kind of went in the opposite direction and I had the boundaries maybe a bit too strong, it's actually better than having them very weak, because I was able to make a very conscious decision about who I'm actually investing my time into and allowing myself to be vulnerable in front of. And I think as a result of that, the time and the consistency that you have to to build the trust with someone has allowed me to learn what real love is actually like. And I think maybe me and you are experiencing a very similar thing in this relationship, where we're starting to understand what it actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not looking for the wrong things.
Yeah,
that kind of went off in a tangent. No. But I think, I don't know if it makes
sense. No.
Blah 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 blah
blah blah, blah. Classic. But no, you're 100% correct on that. And I feel like when you go into things, sometimes triggered by the excitement, the enthusiasm, the natures, and especially if you have low self-worth,
mm-hmm.
all it takes is 10% of someone that you might not even have thought would have pay you attention over that barrier of self-worth, and now you're back forward again.
Mm.
Because you're like, oh well, someone like that isn't gonna, you know,
yeah.
isn't gonna be with me, or like, why would they want to be with me? And then now you're playing catch up again on your own mm-hmm. self-worth, and then constantly fighting for their attention, and you're like not playing on a level playing field. And every single time, like I said, we spoke about this like beforehand, I've had it where people have liked me, and because they've liked me, I've been like, oh well, why not? Yeah, so you got tits, okay, fine.
Oh my
God. Like, you know, I'm like, I love it, yeah, of course, son, yeah, give it over. And it wasn't, there was no question on my side, like, hang on a minute, like what factual data proves that I like them, or there is something meaningful within this? And it was this total moment of like, I can't believe they like me, because my worth was on the floor, or not even on the floor, it was just my perception of someone else was higher than my own self-worth, which I think is, that's crazy. And I think you building those barriers up and having more like a structure or format and a decision-making process of who you let in, like a swing bridge of a castle, you let them in for certain people, then it opens up and you get to bear that. But if you start low, eventually you either stay low and then you're always chasing, or unfortunately some people will go too high, they have barriers the same size as the Burj Khalifa and don't let anybody in. And then both are unhappy. Like, at some point you have to have a criteria, and I think this is probably the thing we spoke about before, it's like fuck around and find out. It's like you have to have a criteria for what you have, and then that criteria then changes when you are wrong, and then it changes when you're wrong again, and it changes again until you find out enough of a criteria to go, hey, this was shit, this was shit, this was shit, this was all right, actually he did this really well, or she did this really well, this is a good reference point, let me use this criteria to form an estimate. And then that's where you then, one of those times you get it right.
Yeah. Obviously, I think the criteria is different for everyone, but if you had to go back to 20-year-old Nathan and you had 20-year-old Nathan's criteria and then you have 32-year-old Nathan's criteria, what would be the difference?
That depends on what we're looking for.
If you're looking for like a healthy, stable relationship.
Well, maybe at 20, I wasn't looking for that.
It's the name of the podcast.
I guess if I wanted to find this earlier, I'd give you a criteria, but at the same time, as I think obviously things happen for a reason, and you get to, like we said before, I nearly crashed my Porsche outside, and I was like, I don't deserve a Ferrari yet because I don't know how to drive my Porsche. Like, that concept also is here, is that at 20, I wouldn't have been able to do the things I did at 20 to 30 in my career if this was a massive focus. So I would say that if you're looking for something that is the difference between the two, criteria was, do you like me? Are you kind of fit? Yep, that was it. Yeah, that was good. Do you like me? Are you kind of fit? And the rest of it will take care of it later.
Mm.
31 and a half, actually, criteria is, as you know, is all about skill. All right, we have a debate in our house when we first met. Sarah is a person that really values time and consistency. So times consistency equals like Sarah's ability to see if you're actually a nice guy or not. Whereas Nathan, he likes skills. So he likes someone that can be a communicator. He likes someone that can be a calm influence. He likes someone that can have a conversation or be cuddly or be stupid or be funny or likes to go and go on holidays. So these are skills and beliefs and traits. So when we first got together, I would argue that she had all the skills and the traits to begin with. And that's why she couldn't understand why I was like love bombing. But then I wasn't love bombing. I just like, it just stayed that way. Because I was like, you've got all the skills. Like it was like, I caught all the other Pokemon cards in one go and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm keeping you. And because I saw the traits and the skills and the behaviors, I was like, firstly, that's great to start with. And do they keep showing up? And they kept on showing up and they showed up and they showed up. And then when we were having really shit times with business or like it was not going in the right direction, did she still show up and do the same things? And you were still there and you put more effort in when it got shitter. Then I was like, okay, the skill set is not just the honeymoon phase. This is you.
Mm.
So this is for my... are you going absolutely delusional? This is your skill set for life. So therefore I was like, okay, I love that skill set and that's me.
Mm.
So that's, I base it all on skills now at 31, 32. It's like, is it an amazing bonus that you're really good looking? Yes. Is it an amazing bonus that you're, you know, you're into fitness and stuff like that? Yeah, that's great. And obviously we spoke about that previously. But this skill set makes me feel supported, secure and stable and makes me feel like I'm in a caring, loving relationship. That is the best. And that's like, that got through all of the filters of all the shite, got to the skill set and I'm like, okay, these are the things and they're awesome. Great. Cool. Pokemon. Grab them. Let's fucking go. Yeah, literally. That's really important. So the skills, I can't explain it other than like, as a guy, I feel like, and maybe I'm just like a beta dude, maybe, I'm not sure, but like, you need to have a filtering of like, what's really, really important. And I think as a business owner, like, there's certain parameters of things that you want in a relationship that I only learned from being a business owner. Like when I was doing a work, like a PT job or doing some stuff, it was like a different vibe. But now that I'm like an entrepreneur, it's like where you...
You fancy.
Yeah, it's because of that guy on the podcast last night. It was like, oh, you're an entrepreneur. I was like, I am. Because you're an entrepreneur, it's on all of the time, which means that the parameters of work get blended at home and everywhere in every single life. And you have to work really, really hard to obviously separate the bullshit. And when that became that as a true embodiment of the word, the dynamics at home needed to be different to support how I felt. And like, it needed to be like a, not a go, go, go environment. It needed to be more stable, homely, loving and caring, as opposed to like constantly just on a fucking warpath. So I feel like because of that change, as well, it changed how the what we needed that environment to be.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your time and consistency model?
My time and consistency model, it's based on the fact that I think, you know, obviously at the beginning of any relationship or the start of dating or whatever it is, everything is very exciting and everybody's wearing rose-colored glasses. And it's so easy to get lost in the excitement that you don't really have your feet on the ground. Like, especially me as somebody that had typically like an anxious attachment style, I would like, you know, meet someone and then I'd already start thinking about the future without really even knowing who that person is. Obviously made me end up in a lot of shitty situations. I dated people that, you know, I dated for the expectations of what I thought that the relationship could be as opposed to what it actually was and how the person was making me feel and how they were treating me. But I've also had my heart broken because I've made up scenarios that didn't actually exist exist, just because I was excited by, you know, how well everything was going in the beginning. And yeah, I think it just, it taught me that it really does take time and consistency, what it says on the tin, to be able to determine whether that person is actually right for you or not. And I think it's important for you to be able to be slow in, not like slow, but to be able to take your time and make a decision from a more grounded place of like doing the best thing for yourself versus following the excitement and the thrill of something new. Because yeah, like eventually people's true intentions will show. And I mean, I know you made a good point in the beginning where it's like you could have the time and consistency and they could be, you know, showing up over and over and over again, and then eventually they could still screw you over. And that's very true. But I think there's a big difference between like taking your time in the decision and still, you know, if you feel like you really did your best to make sure that this was the right thing and it didn't work out, then that's one thing. But if you just followed the excitement and you ended up in a position where you kind of screwed yourself over, then you kind of kick yourself in the foot and you're like, oh, well, I didn't really give myself the opportunity to make the right decision because I just flew away with it. I've dated a lot of people that have appeared really nice in the beginning. I mean, I don't think that there is anyone that isn't nice, to be honest. I just think that people carry a lot of shit that just doesn't immediately come up. So yeah, that's why I think as well that the time and consistency thing is really important. And one thing is, you know, aside from needing it to know who you're getting into business with, you also need it for yourself sometimes, because I, like, we had this conversation many times, and I'm actually speaking to one of my friends who recently started dating now, and she is experiencing the same thing, and I'm sure a lot of people will resonate. When you start dating someone in the beginning, it feels really good because it's new and exciting, but then the closer you get, actually, if you're carrying a lot of trauma, the more difficult the intimacy and the vulnerability becomes, and then all sorts of shit starts coming up. And even though I took our relationship at a slower pace than what you did, it still, if you think about it, went pretty fast. And then, you know, when we ended up moving in together, that's when I noticed the most amount of shit started coming up. And I think the time and consistency thing is helpful for people who are struggling with, you know, relationship trauma, because if it all comes up at the same time, it's extremely overwhelming. Even if you do have the self-awareness, it's still very difficult to try and navigate it. So yeah, I think taking things slow in general has benefits all around.
Yeah, and I'm the complete opposite. I'm like the trauma's gonna hurt for like a week. You can do as best as you can to solve it, and you're gonna get over it, and then we're gonna be fine. Like, but that's why we're all different.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like sexist in saying, but I think that men and women are very different with the way that they deal with emotional things, because men find it easier to use logic. Not all women find it easier to use logic, because we're, the feminine nature is to be more emotional and to lead more with feeling than thought, and that's not a bad thing.
No.
But it just means that maybe sometimes things are more difficult, just like, you know, brush off your shoulders or whatever and move on. Maybe that's why you're different.
I think logic is not all men either. Logic is something that I had to create through being aware and having therapy. Like, there was periods that most of my 20s where I was like, obviously didn't know I had ADHD, didn't know I was emotionally anxious all of the time, I didn't know, still had my knee pain, still had all of those issues all in one go, and I was just like a wrecking ball. But at that time it was just up here on a spin. But I thought that was normal. So I'd just spin and just be going crazy, and there would be how my decisions, like, I was definitely, you think I was impulsive now, but like impulsive behavior is crazy before. I think it is more of a guy thing to be able to utilize it, but at the same time, definitely in like the primitive moments where it's like, how are we going to solve this? It does kick in. You're like, okay, we'll do this. Bam, 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 bam. But in your day-to-day life, I think regardless, I think you still have to be to a criteria of understanding how to utilize your mind correctly, because I think that's realized that your brain works like a court of law. You can then fuck with it to the way that you want to in a positive way, because if like, is this factual data? What's the worst case scenario? What is my feelings and thoughts? What are the actual evidence? And when you can play that game, which I think everyone can play, then you start filtering out what's hyped up by our expectations, perception, trauma, mm-hmm. and then we start filtering it down to what are the bare bone facts, and then making decisions based on the facts, not what could happen, what might have happened, or what I might perceive about a situation.
Mm-hmm. 100%. What do you do when it's really difficult then to distinguish the line between what is happening because of your trauma and what is happening because of the actual situation that you're in? Because you can create very logical excuses to run away from things that are not actually true. And you could potentially attribute it to your trauma, but you could also argue against it and say, like, these are all the facts that I'm seeing here about this person that I don't like, and because of that, I'm not going to continue this relationship. And you could literally convince yourself that this person is not right for you, even though they just have a few bad traits. But what you're actually trying to do is you're trying to run away from the situation so that you don't have to, you know, I don't know, open yourself up to being vulnerable, or, you know, you're just trying to run away from the commitment. So how do you differentiate between the two?
I guess to start any type of distinguishing between bad and good, I feel like you have to have a metric of success.
Yeah.
Like, if you do not know what you want, fuck all your people. Like, like, you don't know.
Yeah.
So then how you can't say something is bad if you don't know what good is.
Yeah.
That is how we work in business or like work. It's like, if my coaches or my team don't know what the standard is, how are they going to meet it? How is the guy walking through the door on your first date going to meet a standard you don't even have?
Mm.
You just think you like a few bits, you don't like a few bits, but you just haven't got a clear line of success.
Mm.
I feel like when we met, you had a clear guideline and I had a clear like skill set that we had to meet, which meant that if we both stayed on the beaten track and we both didn't have this and this, then we walked in a straight line together. That you can't do that without a criteria of success. So if you have to go based on your past experiences, what you feel like you might need in the future, and you have to combine that together to form a hypothesis of checklists, and then you need to then go and tick them off, and if they're not ticked off, then you then move off, and then you keep going down until you run that enough times to figure out if that's realistic or not.
Yeah.
And if the checklist is too realistic, non-realistic, then we're talking about the people that have those barriers up too much and they can't get, no one can get in. But then you then got to meet down and find where your like minimum viable product is.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting is that people that have those unrealistic standards are not actually aware that they have the unrealistic standards.
Yeah.
So maybe it takes the point of being single for like 7 years before you realize that maybe you need to revisit the checklist. Yeah,
if everyone else is in a relationship, and you're not, it's you.
I don't know, because I was single for like 4 years, and I know I wasn't perfect. I don't think you have to be perfect to find a relationship, but I think I was all right.
I think there's always two sides to stories. No, I think you have to ask yourself, if you're talking about those people that are unrealistic with relationships, it's like, show me the relationship you want.
Yeah.
Show me who's got it, and then we'll use it.
Mm.
Because if you show me your parents' relationship, repeatable, fine.
Mm.
If you show me Instagram pictures, relationship, unrealistic.
Yeah.
You know, if you can show me what you want, then you can replicate.
Mm.
But if this is a criteria based on trauma, based on high expectations, based on not wanting to be fucked over, wanting perfection, whatever mindset that you have, then it's like, is what I'm asking for realistic or unrealistic?
I think that's a really good one. I also know some people think they know what they want because they just don't know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do you get to the level of self-awareness where you actually realize that?
I think do you only change, back to the fitness stuff, pain of change has to be higher than the pain of remaining the same. And sometime that moment will be, fuck, I need to look inwards.
Yeah.
You can't coach that moment. You have to wait for that to happen in what scenario it is until you're like, I need to make a change here. And then that's when people make a change.
Yeah.
Because you, it's called self-awareness for a reason, which is like, it's self being aware. It doesn't matter who, friends, family, it just becomes a nagging Arabic mum. it just drives you away and not further to the truth.
Yeah.
So I feel like you need the pain to change.
That's very true.
True that word.
It's kind of an abrupt ending, but if you could give 3 pieces of relationship advice to your younger self, what would it be?
Wrap up and stay warm. No.
What the fuck?
What, condoms?
Oh. You're an idiot.
I was, what, who wears a coat? What type of relationship advice is that? Second piece of advice, that one's very true. And second piece of advice is fuck around and find out with a good filtering process. And thirdly is don't seek for it. Don't search for the relationship. I think genuinely the best thing you can do in your 20s or in your early wherever is focus on your mind, your body, and, you know, your work, and then have those three as your big pillars, and then let the rest of it come fall in. Because if you start searching to be hooked up at 21, you'll be part of the crew that I run away from, which is the 22-year-olds in Runcorn, two kids, two dogs, a mortgage, and all by the age of 23. And then when you actually evolve to actually an adult, you realize, holy shit, what have I done? I've got so much responsibility, and I'm now stuck with all of this stuff. I haven't seen anybody ever not have that identity crisis at some point in their 20s when they've been part of that. So leave the responsibilities at the door, work on yourself, and then the rest of it will take care of itself when you become, when the student
becomes the master.
No, the other one was like something where there's something that appears. So when the student is ready, the master will appear.
Oh, there
you
go.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, let that be good. And you?
I would say the three pieces of relationship advice I'd give to my younger self. Number one is don't go into dating asking what the other person might think of you. Ask yourself, what is it that I actually think of this person? Like, not does this person like me, but do I like this person? Do I connect with this person? And do I think that there could be a future with this person? The second thing would be to, you know, take your time. Time and consistency. Don't rush into anything. Don't get lost in the excitement of, you know, a new relationship. And don't like completely stop yourself from enjoying the process either, because I think that it can go either way. I think the balance is in enjoying the moment with the person that you're getting to know, but keeping your feet on the ground and not, you know, romanticizing about what the future looks like with someone that you've only been on like three dates with. It just, that will set yourself up for like settling for the wrong people and getting heartbroken over relationships that are not even relationships. The third thing would be that if you are experiencing like issues in your relationship, instead of just thinking that it's going to be the be all and end all and just like decide to end it, have a conversation about what you're feeling. Because I think a lot of the times when things aren't going perfectly, our immediate like reaction is like, oh, okay, maybe this relationship isn't right for me. Maybe this person isn't right for me. This is becoming too difficult. And the easy option is to leave and to find something else that doesn't feel as inconvenient. Actually, a lot of things can be solved through a conversation, because you don't always understand what's happening on the other person's perspective. And yeah, I'm just going to close it there.
You're out.
Over and out.
Okay. Peace.
Bye.